What if I told you that there are things that you can start doing today, immediately, that may help protect your brain for tomorrow? This is Alzheimer's and Brain Health Awareness Month, and today we're tackling a lineup of usual suspects as we identify memory loss, dementia, brain health, including warning signs, prevention, treatment breakthroughs, and what every man needs to know before it's too late. Cue the music.
From the Natural State, this is Public Facing, the podcast with Joe Holman.
Thank you to my lovely assistant, Annabelle. She's so kind. Welcome, welcome to Public Facing, the podcast. I'm so very glad that you've come to spend time with us today. I'm Joe Holman. It's June, and that means Alzheimer's and Brain Health Awareness Month. And this is one of those topics of conversation that affects nearly everyone, whether directly or perhaps indirectly through someone we love or even a loved one of someone else that we know. Now, the reality is simple. Our brains are control centers, right? And they govern our memory, decision-making, personality, movement, emotions, and every experience that makes us who we are. Yet millions of people worldwide are living with conditions that threaten those abilities. Now, today we're breaking down what's what on Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and on other brain disorders. We'll share in some of the warning signs, diagnoses, treatments, prevention strategies, and even some surprising differences between men and women when it comes to brain health. Now, I'm not going to overdo it with a bunch of complicated medical language, though we are going to share in some, but not too much, because simplicity really is the goal. There's no fear tactics. This message is far too important to try and hide behind a bunch of lofty words. No, this is going to be practical, understandable information that you can use right here and right now. Our time will be well spent, and I'll be encouraging you with thought-provoking content, so let's get the truth train started. When it comes to understanding Alzheimer's, dementia, and other brain disorders, one of the biggest misconceptions out there is that Alzheimer's disease and dementia are the same thing. They are not. Let me give you an example. Think of dementia as an umbrella term, if you will. Dementia describes a collection of symptoms. So think of it like spokes in a wheel, like each spoke covers an area, like involving memory, thinking, reasoning, and behavior severe enough to interfere with daily life. Now, Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia, though it's not the only cause. See, according to the Alzheimer's Association, Alzheimer's accounts for roughly 60 to 80% of dementia cases. So what happens in Alzheimer's? Well, scientists believe that abnormal protein buildups develop in the brain, and this happens over time. These changes, they damage nerve cells, and they interfere with communication between different parts of the brain. And the result is progressive loss of memory and cognitive function. But Alzheimer's, again, isn't the only brain disorder that's affecting adults. There are several others. Now, I'm going to share with you some names, and I'm going to share with you the areas that this particular this particular type affects. For example, vascular dementia. These can occur after strokes or reduced blood flow to the brain. Lewy body dementia. That's L-E-W-Y. It often involves memory problems, visual hallucinations, and movement difficulties. Now, frontotemporal dementia. This one tends to affect personality, behavior, and language. Parkinson's disease. Now, this can also lead to cognitive decline, and this doesn't happen in everybody, just in some patients. And there's traumatic brain injuries. These can create long-term neurological problems. And then, of course, there's the disorders such as epilepsy or multiple sclerosis. And what about Huntington's disease? Now, while these conditions differ significantly, well, they all remind us of one reality. Brain health matters. Now, one reason that Alzheimer's receives so much attention is due to its prevalence. The National Institute on Aging, they report that age remains the biggest known risk factor, and the likelihood increases significantly after the age of 65. However, Alzheimer's is not considered a normal part of aging. Occasionally, forgetting where you've left your keys, well, that's one thing. But consistently forgetting familiar routes home, as an example, well, that's something entirely different. And I would prioritize seeing a healthcare provider based on that. And as life expectancy increases, well, so also does the importance of understanding brain health. Now for the good news. Well, some good news, right? Researchers know more today than ever before. And while there's currently no cure for Alzheimer's disease, there are ways to reduce risk factors, to improve quality of life, and in some cases, slow the progression. And that's what we're headed to next. You see, this Alzheimer's and Brain Health Awareness Month, well, you can help support research, education, and families that are affected by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association, they provide free resources, support groups, educational programs, and even a 24-hour helpline. So you can learn more by going on to ALZ.com. Excuse me, let me back that up. You can learn more at ALZ.org. That's ALZ.org. The Alzheimer's Association, advancing research, providing care, and supporting families. All right, well, now I want to share warning signs that I think everyone should know. Let's talk about some of the most prevalent warning signs. You see, early recognition, that can make a tremendous difference from prevention and on to treatment approaches. Now, the Alzheimer's Association also identifies several common warning signs. First is memory loss that disrupts daily life. Not just forgetting your name once in a while or someone's name once in a while. We're talking about repeatedly asking for the same information or increasingly relying on notes and reminders. So what about another sign? Well, difficulty completing familiar tasks. Things that once felt routine, well, they suddenly become confusing. Things like paying bills, following recipes, operating household equipment, and at times planning and problem solving. Yeah, those can also become challenging. Someone may struggle to follow steps they previously handled with ease. Confusion with time or place? Well, that's another major warning sign. How about losing track of dates? Forgetting where you are? Not understanding how you arrive somewhere? Changes in judgment? That can emerge as well. Poor financial decisions. Even reduced attention to personal hygiene. And difficulty assessing risks. You may also notice withdrawal from social activities. Someone who once enjoyed conversations, hobbies, and or even gatherings, well, they may start avoiding them. Perhaps mood and personality changes are occurring. Increased irritability, anxiety, depression, suspicion, confusion. All of these, they can illuminate areas where a person may have risks and concerns. Now, here's something important, okay? Many conditions can mimic dementia symptoms. What do I mean? Well, medication side effects, vitamin deficiencies, thyroid disorders, sleep disorders, depression, even dehydration. Yeah, you heard it. Dehydration. Amazing. So as you can see, though, this is really precisely why the self-diagnosis is never the good choice. And I do mean ever. If symptoms are becoming noticeable, then a medical evaluation matters. And the sooner the better. For men especially, there's often a tendency to dismiss symptoms. Remember last week's message? It's probably nothing. You know, we sweep it under the rug. See, men tend to look away when something is going on with them. They don't want to look weak. They don't want to somehow be embarrassed about things going on, and a lot of times we don't necessarily have somebody we can just go to and talk to that we feel comfortable. So, as guys, many of us, well, we simply assume that memory changes are just getting older. Well, sometimes they are, but sometimes they are not. And the key is not guessing. The key is to get things checked. Now, early evaluation provides more options, better planning, and potentially earlier treatment. And that can make for quite a meaningful difference. When it comes to a diagnosis and testing and modern treatments, don't put the cart before the horse. If a concern has arisen, then what happens next? Well, for starters, a diagnosis begins with a conversation. Doctors will typically review symptoms, medical history, medications, family history even, and lifestyle factors. And then come the cognitive assessments. Now, these are structured tests that are designed to evaluate your memory, language, attention, reasoning skills. And blood tests are becoming increasingly important. And it's amazing just how detailed that those results can reveal. Because they can help identify other causes of symptoms and, in some cases, may provide information related to Alzheimer's disease biomarkers. Then comes the brain imaging, as it may be used. An MRI or a CT scan will help identify structural changes or rule out other conditions. PET scans. These can sometimes help evaluate specific brain activity or protein deposits that are associated with Alzheimer's disease. The process has really become more sophisticated in recent years. And that, my friend, seriously, is great news. Because earlier and more accurate diagnoses, these come to help patients and families make more informed decisions. Now, let's discuss treatments. Now, currently available medications, well, they do not cure Alzheimer's disease. However, some medications may help manage symptoms or even slow progression in certain individuals. And several newer therapies, they target amyloid plaques that are associated with Alzheimer's disease. We should note here that these treatments require careful medical evaluation, and they are not appropriate for everyone. There is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to Alzheimer's or dementia in general. So, researchers are continuing to study additional therapies that are focused on in the slowing of the disease progression. Treatment isn't only about medication. Things like cognitive stimulation, physical exercise, healthy sleep habits, social engagement, managing blood pressure, managing diabetes, and addressing hearing loss. See, all of these factors can play important roles in the overall brain health. Now, one of the most promising developments in modern medicine is the increasing understanding that brain health is connected to whole body health. Remember what I said last week? In the message last week, I stated that it's the mental health is also directly connected to your the brain health, rather, is connected to your heart health. So, often, what helps the heart? Well, it often helps the brain. And that's a really powerful concept. And it matters trying to stay mentally sharp, because that starts with being informed. Well, AARP, they offer articles, educational tools, brain health resources, caregiving guidance, and healthy aging information designed to help adults make informed decisions. You can learn more at aarp.org/health. That's aarp.org/health. H-E-A-L-T-H. AARP, empowering people to choose how they live as they age. Let's talk about prevention, risk reduction, and healthy brain habits. See, some may be asking right now, well, can Alzheimer's be prevented? And that's an excellent question. But with that said, the quick and honest answer is that scientists cannot currently guarantee prevention. But don't give up hope, because research is suggesting that there are steps that may reduce risk and support healthier brain aging. Let's focus on things that we can control, okay? Physical activity. Ooh, that ranks right near the top. Regular exercise, it improves blood flow to the brain and it supports cardiovascular health in a real positive way. Now, a brisk walk for even 30 minutes, that can make a difference. Nutrition, well, that matters too. See, dietary patterns, they try to emphasize fruits, vegetables, whole grains, fish, healthy fats, and lean proteins, as these are found to be associated with better brain health. Sleep, well, that's a huge step in the right direction. See, if you have poor sleep's been linked to cognitive decline and memory problems, and it's been that way for a long time. And if you're being, you find yourself in this spot where you've been, I guess, sustaining on, say, 4 or 5 hours of sleep every night, and you've done this for years, well, you are at a greater risk for these issues and more. So you should be cautious and make changes. Now, adults should prioritize consistent quality sleep whenever possible. Naps are effective also. How about mental activity? Yeah, this is important too. You see, when we're learning new skills or doing things like reading, playing musical instruments, that sort of thing, plus when we are using problem-solving activities as an example, lifelong learning appears beneficial for the cognitive resilience. Isolation and loneliness, yeah, this has long been associated with poorer health outcomes, including cognitive decline. Social connections matter. Humans, as we are social creatures. And introverts are at a greater risk for potential brain health issues. So be ready. Ready with your thoughts, ready with your words, and ready with your actions. Doing these can really promote better health. And also, let's look at the area of protecting your hearing. That's another often overlooked factor. Can you hear me now? Yeah, there's a commonality with this. See, research increasingly shows that there are connections between untreated hearing loss and dementia risk. Managing chronic health conditions is incredibly critical. High blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, smoking-related issues, excessive alcohol consumption, all of these can affect brain health. Think of brain health like it's a long-term investment, not a pay-as-you-go kind of short-term situation. No, single habit, there's not one that you can just pinpoint that guarantees protection. And there are no immediate returns on your investment if we're referring to the investment of your brain health. But consistent, healthy choices over time may actually help stack the odds in your favor. Now, men, women, brain health differences. What? Let me share a fascinating area of brain health research with you. Can I? This is a fact. Brain health isn't always identical between men and women. It's true. Women account for nearly two-thirds of Americans that are living with Alzheimer's disease. Researchers, they continue studying. Why? Well, part of the explanation is related to longevity. And women generally live longer than men. And since age is the greatest risk factor, well, it makes sense that longer lifespans increase overall risk. But scientists still believe that biology may also play a role. Hormonal changes that are associated with menopause, well, these are being studied for potential impacts on brain health. Genetic factors that may influence risk differently between men and women as well. See, for us men, cardiovascular health appears especially important. Heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, and smoking. These are all factors that can influence brain health outcomes. Here's one important takeaway. Regardless of sex, many of the foundational recommendations remain remarkably similar. Exercise, nutrition, sleep, mental stimulation, social engagement, managing our chronic diseases. Yeah, there's a lot of these that are similar for across the board between men and women. But what about routine medical care? Well, men often prioritize their work, their family responsibilities, their daily obligations, while just going along neglecting preventative health care. And this is one area where routine checkups, they can have a substantial value. The earlier that concerns get identified, that's where the more opportunities exist to address those, which can also point towards early treatment if necessary. Brain health isn't something to just think about only after retirement. It's a lifelong project. You only get one brain, and you only get one life. So just do what you need to try to get on top of your brain health in that regard. A healthier brain is a healthier you. Now, every decade matters too. Like I said, it's a lifelong project, and it's never too soon to become proactive about our brain health. Are you hearing this? Hearing health is brain health. Yeah, the Hearing Loss Association of America provides education, support, and resources for people experiencing hearing challenges, Learn more at hearingloss.org. That's hearingloss.org. Better hearing can help support communication, connection, and quality of life. Well, my friend, today we finally made it to the final word. Today we've covered a lot of ground. In a short time, we've discussed the differences between Alzheimer's disease and dementia. We've reviewed warning signs that should never be ignored. We examine how diagnoses and test methods, approaches, and procedures have evolved. And we looked at treatment options currently available and promising areas of ongoing research. Now, we also explored practical steps that may help support long-term brain health. To you, my favorite listener, here's what stands out most to me. The brain is incredibly complex, but the message is surprisingly simple if we don't complicate things. So, pay attention, stay engaged, stay active, stay curious. Take those symptoms seriously. Support your friends and family members who may be facing these brain health challenges. And don't underestimate the impact of small, healthy decisions being repeated consistently over time. It's true. Alzheimer's disease remains one of the most significant health challenges of our era. Yet every year brings new research, new discoveries, and new reasons for optimism. There's hope. Knowledge is powerful. Awareness is powerful. Action. Yeah, action's powerful. And see, those three things working together, well, they can make a real difference. My friend, your brain has carried every memory, every lesson, both good and bad, easy and hard, and every great story that you've ever lived. That's right, I'm addressing you, my favorite listener. So take care of it like the invaluable and irreplaceable asset that it is. Get out there. Mix and mingle. Write the next chapter of your brain health journey and of your life. And remember to make it beautiful. For Public Facing, the podcast, I'm Joe Holman. Until next time, be wise and be well.
Thanks for listening to Public Facing, the podcast with Joe Holman. Visit us online at publicfacingpod.stream and on X at x.com/publicfacingpod.